Hello, you guys. Welcome to this episode 4 already, the time flies, of this podcast, Girls Talk with Nicole. Listen, today we are going to talk about something that is very close to my heart. And to be honest with you guys, I think I probably will get quite vulnerable with you today, probably even more vulnerable than with my episode about heartbreak, because yet again, this topic is something that I can truly relate to, and there is a lot of things that I have also thought about myself. So what we're going to talk about is being in your 30s and feeling like you failed in certain life aspects. Also, I am about to get my period, so I feel like I'm even more sensitive. So yeah, it's a great moment to talk about something that deep and something that, yeah, makes me sad sometimes. I'm not going to lie to you guys. And I also ask you on my Instagram about your stories and your perspective. So basically, in case you're not familiar with the story that I posted, I ask you guys if you feel like you failed when you're in your 30s. And obviously, most of my audience is women, and I also can relate more to the struggles of women. But that being said, that doesn't matter that some of those aspects don't apply to men as well. So it was just a yes or no question. And then I elaborated a little bit that what I'm referring to mainly is, for instance, you feeling like a failure because, one, you did not find your husband or your wife, or you just don't have a hubby yet. That was number one. Number two, you're in your 30s and you don't have children yet or just at all. Number three was you are in your 30s and you still didn't buy your own house. Four, you don't have a stable job. And five, you feel like you haven't traveled enough world comparing to others. Or not even comparing to others. We're going to speak about the comparison later. But just, you haven't traveled and maybe you wish you had. So those were the five things that I could come up with myself, because those are the things that either way have crossed my mind. But also some things are from conversations with others, because obviously I speak with a lot of people also during my classes and after, and you know, I really like discussing, so I end up having a lot of conversations with a lot of people about life. And I heard those things repeatedly coming from different people from very different types of worlds, one could say. So during this podcast, we're just going to discuss it, we're going to talk a little bit, as in we myself, I'm going to tell you my conclusion as to why actually do we find ourselves in this space where we feel like we failed. And I'm going to, of course, give you some tips on how to maybe stop feeling like this, or maybe not necessarily stop, but how to help yourself when you're feeling like this. Because like I already said, and let me repeat it once more, I feel like, yes, I do feel certain of those things that I just mentioned, not all of them. And the truth is, some days I feel it more and some days I don't really care, but I worked out a certain coping mechanism onto how to stop myself and how to just move on without getting ultra depressed and feeling sad, okay? So yeah, I'm going to share with you those. And then also I'm going to share some stories from people who have shared their insight. Yeah, just their stories. So that's the plan for the podcast. Before, however, I will dive into that, I just want to rant you guys a little bit about my day to day. So again, if you follow me on Instagram, you saw my stories that a few days ago I have put a microphone for podcast, and I was super excited because the truth is I got obsessed with the sound quality ever since I started this podcast, and I really, really want this to be the way I like it to be. So I listen to a lot of podcasts as well, and I noticed that I pay a lot of attention to the types of sounds that people have on their podcast, and it varies actually. And I noticed that my favorite one is this very clean, no echo sound that's like as if probably they are in the studio. And some people have this like eco kind of podcast, and sometimes, to be very honest, it just irritates me. You can get used to it, but I am striving for that studio sound without having to spend so much money on it, which I think makes it a little bit difficult. But yeah, I'm trying. So I was like, okay, let me buy a podcast microphone. And I bought it. And today I was super excited in the morning to assemble it and to start recording with it. But when I tested it, it was like cutting in, you know? And I tried on different devices with different softwares. And I think, yeah, it must be a microphone fault, because when I record with different devices, that doesn't happen. So I got very disappointed and very upset. And I was like, There it goes, my studio microphone sound. I'll try some different brands as well. And then I was like, okay, I don't have my own wireless microphone because I gave it for a few days to Lily, but I still had a Rode microphone from my other friend who gave it to me for a few days to try it out and see the difference. Turns out that thing was empty. Then I tried to charge it. Turns out it wasn't charging. So I had to try different things to finally charge it. So it was a very frustrating morning, and I was just thinking to myself, like, damn, girl, you really, really want to, and you really like recording that thing, because I just did not see giving up as an option. I'm not a quitter. I'm somebody that once I put my mind to something, yo, you will not make me stop. So that's my little story of microphone frustrations. Like I said, I'm going to order another one to try if a different brand is going to do a better job, and hopefully one day I will get it to the point where I'll be fully satisfied with my sound. And I know that probably some of you are like, huh, what are you talking about? Like, the sound is just fine. I mean, if you're listening, that means at least it does not drive you crazy. But if you know, you know. I'm very petty with certain things, and it's not even like, obviously I want my listeners to have a great experience, but it's also just me against me. Still though, if you have any feedback about the sound, and again, even if it's criticism, I'm totally open for it. Let me know what you think. Let me know what is it like to listen. And if you have some compliments, sure, come through as well. Okay, that was my rant for now. Let's move on to the topic that I promised you to discuss today. So let's get deep. I don't even know where to start, to be very honest with you. But maybe one thing that I think I should start with is to talk with you guys about feeling sad and allowing yourself to be in this negative space for a second. Because maybe if you know me, you know that I am somebody who is very much of a push-through kind of person, as in I don't like staying negative for too long, I don't like complaining, and I truly believe that a lot of times if you think positively and if you just radiate this positive energy, you eventually going to attract nice and positive experiences in your life. So I feel like if you let yourself stay in this negative hole and see things in dark colors, you're not going to help yourself. However, I truly believe that there is a line when it comes to this, and I really wouldn't like you to get me wrong, because I do think that you have to give yourself space and allow yourself to be sad for some time. Emotions is something that fluctuates. You cannot be happy all the time, and you definitely shouldn't be sad all the time. And that's why, like I just said, I really feel like if something happens that really hurts you and makes you feel sad, you should give yourself space and time to let those emotions out, let them in, let yourself process them. And so if you're reflecting on life and if you see things happening around you and the fact that they don't happen to you make you feel sad, you shouldn't ignore it. You should definitely acknowledge it, reflect on it, maybe see if there's anything you can do to at least make steps towards changing it. But just so you know, yet again, I'm all in for letting yourself being sad, maybe even jealous in a healthy way, and just letting those emotions sink in. And for me, for instance, I spoke about it before, that sadness usually hits the hardest before my period. I told you guys I have ADHD, and a lot of times with women who have ADHD, PMS and those depressing thoughts are also a part of life when it comes to PMSing and being before period. So throughout, especially last few years, like 2 years, I noticed that the darkest thoughts cross my mind before my period, and then after my period, they're just poof, gone, and I feel totally fine. So it's good to know for me personally that it's part of my circle and hormonal changes, not necessarily a part of my default thinking, but still those thoughts are there. And like I said, it's kind of funny, not really funny timing, but it's just maybe a good timing to discuss it right now with you guys, that I am in that a little bit more negative space comparing to the rest of the month. Yeah. Bueno, let's just start speaking specifics. I mentioned it at the beginning of this podcast, but let's just touch upon the point number one, which is being a woman in your 30s, or again, maybe that also applies to men as well, and feeling like not having that stable relationship makes you feel like you failed, period. Before I continue on that, just let me let you know one more thing. Even though I'm talking about 30s, that doesn't mean that if you're in your 20s, you should not feel like you are failing or like you failed. If this is what you feel, there must be something in it or about it that makes you feel like this. And you should definitely let yourself explore and try to understand why is this that you feel like this. But I'm speaking specifically about 30s because I really noticed by myself and also while talking with other women that there is this thing that when you hit your 30s and when your 30s starting to passing your 31, 32, 33, you really get a little bit more emotional and more stressed about certain timelines and certain boxes that you supposedly were supposed to take. So there we go. One of those points is not having a stable relationship. And I think very connected to that a lot of times, especially for women, is not having children. Because obviously, if you don't have a stable relationship, prospects of having a child is kind of, well, not likely to happen, I presume, in most of the standard situations, right? Circumstances. And yeah, like I said, I'm going to be genuine with you guys and I'm going to be vulnerable. And to me, that is very familiar feeling. When I was in my 20s, I had two long-term relationships of 4 years and I also lived with my second serious boyfriend. So back then, when I was like 23, I would have never expected myself being in my 30s. I'm 32 now and not having a partner, you know, because I consider myself a relationship girl. I really love living with someone and it was making me happy to be with that partner and having somebody to share my life with, literally. So having myself found in this position where I'm now, where I live by myself and I don't have a long-term stable relationship at this age, makes me feel sad. And, you know, failure maybe is a very strong word, to be honest, but I feel like something went wrong and I wish it was different, you know? So I totally understand when I speak to other women that they feel the same way. On the one hand, there is so much to be said about it, but on the other hand, that's as simple as that. One would like to have a partner at this age and probably at younger age as well. And you know, dating scene in Amsterdam especially seems to be so difficult these days. I don't know what is it like in different countries, but it seems like to me personally that if you miss that sweet moment a few years ago when people were into relationships or like when you were in your early 20s and people were kind of just coupling up before the dating apps existed, now it's kind of harder for one or another reason. And like I said, not having a partner is also very much connected to not having a child. And if you're somebody who really would love to have that family life and have children, that can hurt a lot. To me personally, I am feeling right now slightly confused as to whether I would like to have children or not. I'm really going from, yes, I would love to have a beautiful family and it looks like something so beautiful to have. And then the other day I go to like, I don't really know you guys because it doesn't look like that much fun when I look quite closely at some of my friends. But still, I know that a lot of women have it crystal clear for themselves that they do want to have children and that they do know they would be an amazing mom. And so when not having this stable partner in their life, that makes it very painful to realize that that very big thing stops you from having something that you truly would like, which is a baby and a family. And obviously, husband or a wife is a part of that family picture. So it's like a little bit of a double pain, I presume. And I must say that when I asked the question on my Instagram, I saw a lot of stories from women who said the same thing, that I'm in my 30s and I really want to have a baby, but I don't even have a boyfriend yet. So the situation is not very great. It doesn't look really good. So yeah, I can totally relate to this. We are going to talk about what can we do about those things and what do I do myself. But I'm already going to tell you now, a little spoiler alert, that I don't really know if there is a specific solution, if there is something that you can do. Because when it comes to those two points, before I move on to the other ones, that's the difficult thing, in my opinion, when it comes to love and relationships. There is a lot of things in life that you can really work hard for. And if you really put your mind and your soul and your sweat and hard work to it, you're going to make it work for you. Like, for instance, next one that we're going to talk about, buying a house. But my feeling when it comes to finding a partner, finding love is that sometimes no matter how hard you work and how bad you want it, it's just harder than that because there is other person involved in it. And love is not something that you can force or that you can work on. You know what I mean? So, of course, there are things that I spoke about with my friends and the people that I think do help. Like, for instance, very simple, just going to date, you know, dating and increasing the chances of finally meeting that person that has the same life goals and the same intention of having to build future together. But still, sometimes you might be dating for months and meeting hundreds of people, and for some reason it just doesn't happen. And to be very honest with you guys, truthfully, besides just giving people a chance and really dating, I really don't know. To be positive though, because there is something positive though about it, I truly do believe that you are increasing your chances big time if you go for dates a lot. And also another thing that I feel like will help you is to be very specific and very straightforward as to talking about what you want. And I'm not saying that, you know, during the first date you should be instantly talking about having a baby, buying a house, and just having very strict timeline. But to me, I really do notice that it really has changed the type of men I started attracting a few years ago when I was very straightforward as to what do I want, what do I accept, and what do I not want. So those are things that I definitely support when it comes to trying to change that particular thing of not having a partner and not having children and really wanting it. But yet again, I do think it's difficult. Sad story, but that's the thing, it's life. Sometimes, oh, I feel so bad. I feel like it sounds so negative now, and I really don't want to bring you guys down. But then, yeah, on the other hand, I'm just trying to keep it real with you. And again, please mind you, I'm about to menstruate, so my hormones are like all over the place. I think I'm gonna make this episode, I'm gonna remake it after my period and see how my viewpoint changes. But right now, all I'm gonna say about that, I'm in my 30s and I feel like I failed because I don't have a stable relationship, is I feel you, girl. I also really want it, and I really hope that it's going to happen for you and for me. And if you're somebody who truly craves to have children, I feel for you a lot. Again, I can't relate fully, but I really, really feel for you because I can imagine that for us women, this is something so painful when you see your biological clock ticking and you know you're going to be such a great mother, but you just can't find a worthy partner to do it with. And I know that some women decide to do it by themselves. Great. I have an opinion about it, but that's not the time to speak about it. But the thing is that I really would like to personally ask you for is to not have children with trash men just for the sake of having children. Because truly, I feel like having children is something kind of selfish, to be very honest, of us. Like, we just want our baby. Like, we just want the baby that's coming out of us, that looks like us. But I really would like to ask you to maybe think about it twice and think of the life you're going to give to this child if you're deciding to have this baby with them guy who has been hurting and disappointing you for your whole acquaintance time or for your whole relationship. Because the truth is, a child needs both parents. And that's what I think, to be very honest with you. And if you're growing up as a girl with a father who's there and then he's not there and there's this inconsistency, well, I don't know, man, if it's worth to bring this child on this earth just to like give it trauma. You know what I mean? I really think that the best way would be having children when your relationship is very stable and when you both are ready. And now that I'm talking about it, like, I do realize that there's women who from the very beginning decide that they really want to do it by themselves. And, you know, sometimes they do it through like the sperm bank and stuff. Yeah, cool. I know that you can give the child all the love in the world and you can be a good mom and a dad in one person. And if you have financial means, that's great as well. But yeah, maybe it's my personal traumas kicking in and my personal experience that when I look at my father like being really flippily flop, I wish sometimes that my mom would like choose a better one for me, to be very honest. But then, you know, obviously if she didn't have me with my dad, I wouldn't be here right now. So yeah, was meant to be, I guess. Let me move on to another point, which is I am in my 30s and I feel like I failed because I don't have my own house. This is me. This is what I feel. I have days, again, it's not like a constant feeling. I don't have it every day. Sometimes I flip and I feel totally super grateful about my rental apartment in Amsterdam and I feel super proud of myself. But to be very honest with you guys, I have days when I feel like such a failure that I don't have enough financial means yet to buy a house, especially when I see people around me who are my age and who have a house. However, I get myself out of that negative space real quick by reminding myself, who are those people that bought a house? Because the truth is that we haven't had the same start, all of us, you know? Some people were born in circumstances that allowed them to, they were just few steps ahead of us, and as life continues, they constantly, if they continue working on themselves and on their life, they constantly will be those steps ahead. Some people get really lucky, and of course there's also a percentage of people who maybe started off where we started from, but they just got a better job, they work harder at school, they went to a different studies, or maybe they just were lucky enough to get different job. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is, like, okay, there are people who started at the same spot and now they're way further, and so they were also, for instance, able to afford the house. However, yet again, I do think that mostly if you really look around and if you look at your friends who have bought a house, it's either way somebody who has parents who helped them to buy a house, either way they helped them to get a mortgage, or maybe they gave them some money and now they can pay them back. Also, you have people who inherited some houses, like for instance in Poland, that's a thing a lot of time, that people get apartments after their grandparents when they're passing away. And then especially if you have a partner, if you combine those two apartments that you'll get from your grandparents, you can afford a nice apartment to buy together if you sell those two houses. And then you also have people, again, who are in relationships, and if they put their income together, they're able to get some mortgage. So then when you look around and you realize that those people are in totally different circumstances than you, at least in my case, it will really quickly make you feel less like a failure because you don't have a house. And also another thing that I remember a lot is that I live in Amsterdam, and I guess if I lived in a smaller town, it would have been maybe a little bit easier to maybe not buy a house but get a bigger apartment. Because my problem is that, first of all, I have days when I feel like a total failure because I don't have a house, like a bought house. And then other times I feel very upset that I have a very tiny apartment, and I feel like at this age I should have had at least a bigger place with more space, to be very honest with you. So I live in a studio apartment of 35 square meter, but then yet again I remember and I realized that what I'm paying for this studio apartment is what my friends pay for their huge houses in smaller towns. So then it's just life choices, I guess. And to be very honest with you, again, I feel like if that was something that was really really bothering me, and like with what I just ranted for half an hour about the relationships, with this you really can change something. You can work harder, you can get a better job, and then eventually meet the requirements of the mortgage. It might take a long time and a lot of work, but that is not impossible. And to be very honest, I feel like it's easier than finding a partner. It also depends on where you live, because I know some of my friends who live in Amsterdam who have quite good jobs, but they still were not able to get mortgage when being by themselves. So that also is something, that house thing, I feel, is something very much coming from the society standards, I would say. That pressure from society who put those invisible standards for us that we all know about and that we all compare ourselves to. But also another thing is that those standards, you guys, actually, if we think about it, were set years ago. They were set by our parents, actually. And the crazy thing is that our parents' life and circumstances were so different to what we are dealing with now. I mean, I'm pretty sure you must have seen it every now and then somewhere on the internet, that the proportion of the salary and housing prices or cars or in general life costs are so different right now than what it was with our parents, and of course we are in a worse situation. I don't remember exactly the exact numbers, but I remember that was something crazy, that let's say 34 years ago a house would cost 50,000, whereas now it costs 300,000, and the salary has increased maybe, I don't know, 500 euros, you know what I mean? So just living in a crazy world, and what I'm doing basically to make myself more sane is to remind myself about all those things and just be grateful for what I have, because at the end of the day, I still have a roof over my head. So I guess I'm not doing that bad, I presume. Okay, let's move on to another one. I am in my 30s and I feel like I failed because I don't have a stable job. With this one, I'm not on the same boat. There's that one thing that I feel happy about, and that is my career. But, you know, I think, again, it comes down to those standards, because if we look at those standards of society, this is our goals, right? You go to study when you're in your early 20s, you do your studies by 25, 27, you get your first professional job, and so by 30-something, you're already quite well set in your career, and you're only going higher, and you're getting promoted, and you're getting more and more stable, right? This is what the standards of society are. And of course, like, we still see a lot of people following that standard, good for them, but that doesn't mean that this is the only good way. I've been thinking about it a lot, and if you gonna live for like 70, 80 years, look how much time you have to just make changes and switch things, go back to school. And I feel like what's the most important when it comes to that particular thing is that you feel happy and fulfilled. If you have a job and you wake up in the morning and you feel like you really don't want to do this, I feel like this is a sign for you to change things, regardless whether you're in your 20s or whether you're in your 30-somethings. If you feel like you want to make a career switch and go back to school, study something and start over, I feel like it's fine. Because even if you graduate from the university at 39 or 40, you still have 30 years to build up your resume and to build up your experience. And the thing is that you can get quite well set within a job within 2 years, you know, after you started. Usually after 2 or 3 years in the Netherlands, for instance, you get permanent contract. And if you're really good at what you're doing and you know, it brings you satisfaction, you're going to excel and get promoted way faster than with somebody who's not really that passionate about it, I would presume. And also another thing is that job is just a job. If you're making money to pay your bills, is this really that important to make yourself miserable about? I don't think so. I feel like there's so much more other important things to take into consideration. And yeah, of course, you know, making money and having a job is a part of our lives and you can't escape it because we have to pay bills. But I really feel like we shouldn't attach our value based on what we do. Because yet again, I really feel like it's this society monster in our head that tells us that, oh, if you don't have a job that's flashy and fun to talk about, that means you failed. Why? What I'm trying to say is that, for instance, I am somebody who's very passionate about my job, and I wake up in the morning and I'm always super excited about what's the day about to bring. And that's great. I really love that. But I also know people who were working in very high-end jobs like finances, but they were miserable. And so eventually they made this brave decision of quitting the job, and they started working at the cafe, you know, selling coffee. And even though, according to the society, it's a crazy decision because it's giving away this beautiful fancy job for coffee making, the fact that it was making them so much happier and their heart was lighter already shows that this was a good decision. So yet again, as long as you can pay your bills, who cares? If you don't know yet what you want to do and you feel like you're in your 30s and you should, according to the society, you should know what you want to do, let it go. Explore. Get to know yourself. Go for some courses. Do some tests. And if that will show that you actually should have studied something totally different and you feel like, again, it's too late for you to start, shush that voice that tells you that it's too late and just do it. At the end of the day, we're just 32. We're not even halfway, unless we die earlier, but statistically we haven't even made it to like halfway of our life, so there's plenty of time and space to make changes and start over. And in case you have this voice in your head telling you, but what if I fail? Well, then you fail. At least you try, you move on, you either come back to your old career or you just do something different. And the last point is, I am in my 30s and I feel like I haven't traveled enough, and that makes me feel like I failed. That's me again. I made a post about it on Instagram, to be very honest. I posted that I sometimes felt a little bit jealous about people who are my age and they already have traveled the whole freaking world, because that's something that I really, really would like to do. I really love traveling and I really love seeing different countries and different cultures. And again, I just took a while to look at those people and their stories as to who they are, what kind of household they're from, how come they travel and I didn't. And the reason basically is that they're coming from richer households. Their parents were taking them for holidays when they were little, and so that's how they already have traveled so much by the age when they were 18. And then because they are from the households where money wasn't really that much of an issue, and they're from Western Europe where traveling by default is more normalized than in Eastern Europe, they also had still more financial means when they left the house, because they didn't have to entirely take care of themselves. They had parents who would help them to pay for their studies. So I really pushed myself to stopping myself from comparing myself to my especially Western European friends, because our lives are not the same. We haven't had the same start. So all I can do is just accept it, that I will do things that they did earlier. I will do them later, and that is okay. Because yet again, the life is not over yet and we still have so much time to catch up. So that's all good. That makes me feel so much better. There are also other tips that I was thinking, or maybe not even tips, but just kind of sentences that I just wanted to throw out there to hopefully, again, help you to feel better. And we already spoke about some of those. And that is, first of all, everybody has a different start. We spoke about it, and please keep remembering it when you're comparing yourself. Especially another thing, everybody has a different timeline. The fact that majority of people graduate from their studies and start career in the late 20s doesn't mean that you cannot do the same thing in your late 30s or even 40s. Everybody has different wishes. So for instance, with traveling, like I said, not everybody wants to travel. Maybe same with having or not having children. I was talking about feeling like a failure because you want it but you are not having it at the time frame that you want. But there are also a lot of women who just simply don't want to have children, and then again they're being pressured by the society and standards, and eventually that pressure sometimes pushes them into that weird space where they feel like, "Ooh, am I failing? Is there something wrong with me?" Well, girl, no, there's nothing wrong with you, because yeah, everybody has different timelines and so different wishes. And when it comes to this, like having children or maybe even, you know, the house thing or relationship thing, I really feel like it's important to stand still for a second and ask yourself whether it's your wish, you feel sad that you don't have it because it's something that you truly want to have, or is it because you're comparing yourself to the society, but at the end of the day, it's not even something that you want truly. I think that's very important to ask yourself this question. And that brings me back again to the point about relationships. Obviously, when I look around and I see a lot of my friends being in relationships, and some of them are in relationships for a very long time, I started a long time already ago ask myself a question whether this is actually a relationship that I would like to have. Because the thing is that I noticed, you guys, that there's so many people that are together for many, many years, but they're actually not happy. It's just more comfort, you know, they settled and now they live together, now they have a house together, they have memories together, and maybe they see that the dating scene is not that fun anyways, and then they just decide to settle for whatever there is. And that's something that I could never do, especially now when I'm in my 30s. Even though it hurts, I'm not gonna lie, I would love to have a partner to come back to cuddle to tell him about my day and about my plans for the future, have somebody to get the groceries when I can't, you know. I really would like to have that, but I would never sacrifice my basic needs and standards just to be with somebody, you know. If I let you into my life, you have to be somebody who brings value into my life rather than who brings headache, period. If you're somebody who's just going to be stressing me, who I have to babysit, because I'm sorry, but a lot of men are like big children, then I don't want it. If I am supposed to live with a guy and all I get in return of a little bit of affection and company is extra household work where I have to wash your clothes, fold your clothes, wash the dishes, maybe even take care of you financially, are you nuts, bro. Are you crazy? Hell no. Then I'm fine alone and lonely sometimes, you know? Then I just cuddle my pillow and cry myself to sleep because, nah, man, this is not something that I'm talking about. So maybe, not saying it's toxic, maybe it is, but maybe sometimes if you feel sad that you're alone in your 30s, look around. And maybe if you see, if you want to hang out with a friend and you call her, she's like, oh no, I'm with my hubby. And then you're like, oh, that must be so nice because I wish I had my hubby. Take a look again at the relationship. Isn't it that guy that she was complaining about 2 days ago that he doesn't do anything, that he cheated? Because then what are you jealous about, girl? Just a little hint for you. Well, not even a hint, but like a tip for you to make yourself feel a little bit better. And remember that at the end of the day, if it's not quality relationship, you don't need it. And maybe that's also the reason why some people get into relationships a little bit later, because then you are actually a grown up human being and you're ready and mature enough to share life with another grown up person. And speaking of being grown up, that brings me to another point of being a parent. So again, I feel like it's a little bit societal thing and that pressure and standards that having children in your 20s was a thing, especially in Eastern Europe. But I don't necessarily think that that was the right way to do it, because truly, think about it, when you were in your 20s, oh, I'm going to speak of my personal experience. When I was in my 20s, I was not the wisest person. And I'm not saying that I'm now. I wonder if I'm in my 40s, whether I'll think the same about myself now, because I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't consider myself quite smart and emotionally mature. But when I look at myself when I was in my 20s, I do see a lot of mistakes that a regular 20-year-old would do, no biggie. And I also do see that I made a lot of stupid decisions that yet again are a part of being in your 20s. But I'm really happy that there wasn't a child with me in those 20s who would become a lot of times a victim of these poor choices. And also, you know, I've went through such a long journey of getting to know myself and becoming stronger emotionally and mentally that when I'm thinking to myself about having a baby in your 20s while still being actually a child in your head, it just rubs me off like a weird way, you know? And I think this is also why a lot of us, as in the millennials, are slightly traumatized, because our parents a lot of times had us in a very young age where they were just not mentally stable and mature enough to raise another human being. Because, yo, raising a child is such a huge responsibility. You shaping norms and values and mind of another human being who's going to be existing in this world and contribute to the way this world is going to be in the future. Can you imagine? Can you understand how huge of a responsibility is that? And we are giving that responsibility and opportunity to a 22-year-old who just passed the, not even, who can't even get alcohol in US, girl. And you know, of course, age is just a number and you have people who are in their 20s who are way more mature than when they're in their 30s. But let's be honest, life experience shapes you as a human being and makes you more and more mature. So by default, mostly people in their 30s are slightly better in their head than people in their 20s, you know? So what I'm trying to say basically is that at the end of the day, I don't think that having children in your early 20s is something that we should consider as the only normal, you know? Sometimes it's maybe better to take time to heal, to set yourself financially, and then have children. So this is me. Like I promised you guys, I am going to read some stories from people who have shared with me their stories. All right, here is, I just chose a few because there are quite a lot and I thought maybe it's a little bit too much, but here's one story. I always thought that I wanted kids. I'm 33 and not married, but I realized that I don't really want them. There you go. See, another person who finally, thank God, realized that this is a society norms and it's totally okay to not have children. I quit my designer career to follow my dreams of being a dancer, tattoo artist, and it's scary to start at 28. Totally understandable, but like I already said, girl, you're not even halfway through your lifetime. You'll be just fine and enough time to catch up and rebuild your career. And in case it fails, which I hope it's not, you still have enough time and space to go back to what you're doing right now. I have all those things, as in house, children, but I still feel like I failed because I'm fat and I can't stay in a job for X amount of years. You know, I know this person and when she wrote it, it really broke my heart because I love seeing how she's blossoming and growing as a person, as a woman, like from when I met her to where she's now. It's such a growth when it comes to self-love and confidence. And I feel like as she continues to working on herself, she will get to the point where being fat or not being fat won't matter to her because, like she said, she has a child or children, she has a house. And yeah, not being able to stay at a job, again, who cares? As long as you can pay your bills and hopefully one day you will find a job that is something that makes you want to stay and make efforts. But if you're listening, you're doing great. Girl, I have all those things, as in all those points that I feel like I'm failing. People judge always and it's so hard to ignore it. Very understandable. I don't have a man and I want to have a baby and the time is ticking. I've had those messages so many times. And yeah, like I said, I do feel you, but I really, really hope that those women in act of despair won't decide to have a child with anyone or just to have a child to have a child. You know what I mean? Another one. Yes, I do feel like a failure, especially from older generations from Eastern European countries. And again, pressure, be pressuring. Realistically, I know I'm fine. I'm so happy with my life, but I feel like those things will never happen for me, as in having a house, baby, hobby, and traveling. I'm 30 and thriving because I am finally doing and being for me. Yes, let's go. I don't have a stable relationship since 2018 and I'm moving countries and jobs. And that is great, right? Just traveling and living life and taking it day by day. Exactly, the same as you. It just feels like I don't have anything and it feels very lonely sometimes. Relatable. I'm 32, living with roommates, single, no kids, nice career though. But yes, I do feel a pressure. It's no longer possible to achieve all without our 30s or 40s unless somebody has rich parents. Society evolves and cost of life tripled from our parents' generations as study times. Also, even though I'm not 30, I feel like I'm also late to the society standards. I feel you. I understand. But yeah, so I just wanted to read those things because I was like, okay, let me show you that it's not me who's reflecting on it. And again, I got a lot of messages like this. But I hope that at the end of the day, either way, your self-work... Look, this is what I hope for. Either way, through self-work and this inner reflection, you will let it go and you just realize that you're happy with what you have and where you are. Or another thing is that I hope that if this is something what you truly, truly want, I hope that you'll get it. And I hope the same for myself. Yeah, I think that's it. I think I've said everything that I had in my mind. I really hope that I wasn't really rambling as much. Because to be very honest with you, I feel like this episode was the most difficult for me because I really wanted to stick to the point. But then, you know, there's so much to say about it. So I hope it was easy to follow and I hope that you're not lost in my thoughts. And I really hope that it kind of made you feel better and that it helped you at least to relate. And yeah, I'm sending you lots of love and I will speak to you next time. Bye.